Right here with the crisis like it is over in the Middle East, Mr. Bush declaring the things that he has declared, and us going, well, in the middle of the week, we're caught up to paradise. This place we're going to is paradise. And those that are going along, it has great significance. But the thing that I had on my mind was that Mr. Bush has made some declarations. I believe he had a speech last night that brought out quite a number of things. We believe that Mr. Bush is God's man of the hour for the presidency, and we had made the statement before he went to the presidency that he would go and that he was God's man of the hour for the presidency. And of course, I think Mrs. Bush recently made the statement that she said, George Bush is the greatest man in the world today, that's alive today. And she spoke of his early rising in the morning and his concern, and how that he was individually concerned about his own family, even his children, and wanted to know where they were at all times and their safety, their welfare. Very conscientious man. We ourselves had made some statements concerning the Middle East crisis, that this thing was something God had allowed that they might find that there can be a union or unionization between nations. This is something they've never been able to determine in many years. Those have been a United Nations pact. They've not really had a United Nations since Roosevelt. And actually, they've never had a United Nations so far as a real coming together as a world thing. And this little episode in the Middle East was to bring about this confederation. You know, we have what we refer to in the United States as the confederation as to confederate of yesterday. And the Bible speaks of Abraham and those that were confederate with him in the day that he went out to deliver Lot. But bringing about a confederation of people that are confederate in this day as to one with another, especially as to international league, these people are becoming confederate almost overnight, just in this one thing. As a matter of fact, Mr. Bush made the statement that this crisis has forged a new world order, which agrees with what we said, and that we said that this great union of nations coming together, that it was the act of God to cause them to realize that they could unite and they would unite, and that it would bring in a new government, and this government would be a united government of the people of all the world that would bring about Antichrist, the headship that would be the Superman that would have this great superpower at his control, which would be would fulfill the statements in the book of Revelation that says, who can make war against him? And of course, you can see that with these people confederating, that nobody's going to be able to make war against the one that's at the head of it. Whereas right at the present time, it looks good for the United States of America because Mr. Bush is at the head of it. And that's real good, because the woman's inheritance of the Old Testament is because of the son. And of course, Mr. Bush is the son of the woman. And that America is the woman. So then the woman bringing forth her son at this time, her inheritance looks real good in Mr. Bush, as to Mr. Reagan and these other things, Mr. Carter. There's two or three of them right in succession that has to do with this, is the catching up of the man child. And Mr. Bush is kind of like the cream on the cake. And right now, he's the all-powerful one. And I think Mrs. Bush is pretty much right in her statement. But I only said that to say this, that with the things that are taking place, Mr. Bush is the one that's in preeminence. And right now, he's got control of pretty much so of the entire world. And that's wonderful, because he has the right idea. He has the right frame of mind. And even at the close of his little talk, Sister Betty had tuned in about middle ways on that thing, and I heard a little of it there. She got on the telephone with somebody, and toward the end of it, he made the statement very loud, clear, and in the affirmative, God bless America, without any apologies or without saying, you have to take this out of school, I'm afraid that they'll dethrone me. He said, God bless America, and I thought that was wonderful. And I thought, it's just something, you know, they strain their net and swallow a camel. They say that you can't say that in school, you know. But anyway, they say it wherever people got enough backbone, they say it anyway. So it sounds real good. But the only thing is that America is a woman nation, and a woman cannot stay and rule because that's not the plan of the Lord. And queens have to come down and kings have to take their place. There has to come a time for it. The woman has to be in rule to the extent as to the time of the woman carrying the child is to keep it from being marked, as we say. Then the man yields to her. And then after that, when the child is born, then comes the time of the woman finding subjection. And America now is delivering her child. And the travail is just about over for that. And then that means that the masculine as to the rule of Israel will come forth. And in that, then that means that Israel is to rule the world. That means that the woman will have to fall into her place of subjection. But before that, there comes in between that time the beast as to the king of the north, and interference as to the lying vanities and that which is the masculine seemingly. So it's a bad situation. That is to say, Mr. Bush cannot take that as to a monarchy, because in the United States it's not allowed after you go for a couple of sessions, as we say in the United States, run a couple of terms, and after that you're pretty much out and you can't run anymore, and that pretty well ends it. But in the other countries, especially as we would say of Mr. Gorbachev and some of the other places, as to their monarchy, they can continue right on, so they can win fame and popularity, as Mr. Gorbachev is doing through the efforts of the fame of our president and his wisdom and of his popularity. And then when Mr. Bush drops into the shadows, if he's alive and continues on, Mr. Gorbachev, that is, and he just steps right out and he is the number one man, the man with the mark on his head. Right in the middle of the week, calendar-wise, it shows it. And, of course, it would make no difference who you put in the presidency of the United States. He'd never be top man again. He'd never rule again, because Mr. Gorbachev, along with Mr. Bush, has taken that popularity, that place of popularity. And when Mr. Bush got out of the way, anybody that come in would be secondary. So you can see what's happening and where it's headed to. The king of the north, as the Bible said, is coming. So it is true that the man of preeminence is coming up for that superpower. And it is a new world order, like Mr. Bush said. Not a new world, but a new order for the same old world. And it's going to be a thing that is a breach over, as in between the old world and the new world, in that the new world is coming. Like George Washington's vision as to the fall of the economy, and then he saw it rise again. And that's what I understand the fall of it is, this great calamity that's going to befall America. And then after that, the rise that I believe that Washington saw was actually the restoration as to the millennium coming in. And when the millennium comes in, and that America is typical of that, that is what he saw to be a restoration. But it does come together, fits together as to the great superpower, and it'll bring peace, as supposedly, whereas the Bible said when they cry peace, then sudden destruction, because the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. The wicked are like the troubled waves of the sea, and like the mire, it's ever being cast up upon the banks, and there's no peace to the wicked. All of their ways are evil before God. Their prayers and their offerings are abomination in the sight of God, and God will pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. There's no place in God's plan for the wicked. It's not that he wants to destroy the wicked other than the fact that they won't repent. He said, I would that the wicked repent. It's not my will that the wicked should perish, that they should repent, he said, and I'd like to give them eternal life. But in that he knows they're not going to repent, then that means that they're going to have to pay. All right, so everything is running right on schedule. Everything is going right in the right direction. And Mr. Bush, of course, made his statement, how beautiful this is. Everybody coming together. Look at this wonderful world union. He said, and here we are, all of us coming together. That is to say, it's the Christians, it's the United States, it's Japan, it's Russia, it's the Arabs. And he made the statement that if the Soviet Union could come together after the grievances that the United States and the Soviet Union has had, then surely Congress and the Senate and these people here in America that's having their little disputes could get together. And he thought it was just beautiful and lovely, which I think it really is. As far as a parent, you know, as far as looking at it, the observation, it would just be breathtaking. It would just be phenomenal. And it would be the thing that everybody's waited for and everybody's longed for and looking for. But that isn't the way it is, folks. And it's like the old saying, all that glitters is not gold. And it's like I told my wife, I said, Betty, that's not the way it is at all. I said, because let's look at it this way. It is true, the Arabs is coming together and all these other things coming together. First of all, the Bible said, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? I said, those people, a lot of them are heathenistic. I said, and we are Christians and they are paganistic in their worship when it comes to false gods. You know that can't last. That can't be. There's no peace there. And the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. He made Israel kill those people that worship those paganistic gods in the Old Testament. They were put to death. But aside from that, I said, Betty, let's consider it like this. I said, if this thing is so beautiful as it appears to be to Mr. Bush and to the others, I said, tell me one thing. I said, why is it that the mainspring is left out of the whole thing? I said, why is it that they've exiled Israel and out of all the nations, I said, the one thing that's missing is Israel. I said, they've got all the nations together. They've accepted all the nations. I said, but the one nation that's rejected is Israel. And I said, without Israel, God's not in it. I said, because Israel is known to be the apple of God's eye. And I said, the mere fact that Israel's missing proves that God's not in the arrangement. And I said, the mere fact that they put Israel out proves that the aggression is against Israel. And that the whole boycott is something that's going to become satanic and that it's going to rise up in the end as to come against Israel. And it's going to be that very thing to bring on the abomination of desolation that the Bible speaks of, where it says, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. For the Bible emphatically states that the three unclean spirits that comes out of the mouth of the image of the false prophet and the dragon, whatever, that they'll go out into all the land working their miracles to cause all of the nations to be gathered together against Israel. I said, and here they are right there in the east, just like we said they would be. All of the nations are there. And I've said all the time that the whole thing is against Israel. And they warned over and over, Israel, don't you get into it. Israel, don't you get into it. And Israel has already said that all they've got to do is just touch our borders and we'll automatically be into it. And it wouldn't make any difference what America said or anybody else said if somebody happens to become the aggressor as to Israel's country, Israel will be over there like a swarm of bees. So we can see that there's still great danger and that there's really no peace. Now, as far as Israel starting any problems, I don't expect that because they would really love to have peace. The one thing they'd love to do is just everybody leave them alone and let them worship their God, which the devil will never do. And they'll never have any peace because they don't take the name of Jesus. They really don't know who God is. They're like the people of Athens, Greece, when Paul went up there and declared to them the true God. When they had the inscription as to worship the unknown God, Paul said, him do I declare unto you this day, his name being Jesus. So are the Jews ignorant as to God being Jesus, him that there's none other God. But nevertheless, that thing as to the crisis in the Middle East, it shows us that all of those nations have been pulled together, and that right over there near Israel And it has come to this place right here in the 90s, right at the very beginning of a period of time that all it would take is about 2 or 3 years to set things in order for the economy to rise up as to the United States of Europe, and to bring in the great harlot or the whore, which is the Catholic Church, which is fabulously rich. We had spoke quite a long while back to the people about the papacy of Rome coming together with Russia. And sure enough, they eventually got them, that is, the great whore got a papacy leader that was communist. And they did come together, and the papers carried it shortly after we made the prediction. And it's very obvious that since they're the one with the money, and they've got more money than anybody else, according to the papers and the statistics, any other nation. And it's very obvious that if this common market is set up, then when it's set up, they're going to become the great leader and the controller of it. And Russia has already said, bring it into our country too. So every nation is going to be into it. And the very thing that they needed to bring it together was Mr. Bush, as the great leader of the United States, to organize them, just like he's done over there when he demanded that they give some money. And when Japan gave about $1 billion, and he said, that's peanuts, you need to do more. And they sent another billion. And when he said that Germany need to do something, and then they got in and done something, and the other countries are contributing as to one cause, that's all they needed was a union. And now that they're coming together as to a union and a unionization, then that means that when Mr. Bush backs off on this side of the ocean, that leaves Mr. Gorbachev on that side with the union. And all they've got to do is just work the thing out, come together. He'll be the big figure on that side, because him and Bush is the two big figures. On that side, he's the big figure, and they'll be looking to him because they can't get to Mr. Bush that easy. And then they'll begin to work that thing together here from the 90s right on down to about 92 and 93, and everything will be well in hand, well organized. And when they do, then the woman will be put aside and the masculine will begin to take over, which means it'll be headed back for the Jews to become the head of the nation, and the third will be the head of the nation. And already they've become the rejected stone, as in the union, they're the very nation that's being rejected. And the Bible said the stone that was rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. And the scriptures obviously shows that they'll be the head of all the nations, and they're the very nation that's been rejected. So then that means that God will come down and come to them and not the other nations, fight for them against all of the nations till the blood runs to the horse's bridle, to make them the head of the nations, and that he'll become the head of their nation. And when they bow to him, then all the rest of the nations will have to bow to the Jews or to Israel. So everything's shaping up just right for that great, great change. And the superpower of any other organization, which is this boycott coming together, will have to be under the influential power of the King of the North, or the powers of Antichrist, because God won't have any part in it. God will always have his part as being the head of the nation, which will be Israel, and the head of the nations, which will be Israel over the nations. And he'll never work through any other nation or any other people, except at this particular time, as long as the Christians are in the United States, he will work through the true spiritual Jew at this time until the days of the Gentiles are over. And then that'll finish the whole thing, and then it'll go back to an earthly perspective, leave the heavenly perspective as to the spiritual Jew, and go back to the earthly perspective as to the natural Jew. And of course, that means when it goes back to the natural, it goes back to the sonship, which means the natural Jew. All right, so that's the tidings out of the East that's going to trouble the Antichrist when he sets everything up with his superpower as to the King of the North. And the woman will soon be pushed out, because just as soon as they boycott over there, all the trade will be going over there, and everything that they've got is imported goods and whatever. They'll turn it right over there to that confederation in the United States of Europe. And all the trade will be in there, and then this will fulfill the scripture. When this thing is blown up, you'll read it in the book of Revelation where it said, and the desolation is coming 1 hour, and all of her dainties is gone. I've read it to you quite a number of times, just to make a little reference here tonight, because we don't have time to go into it, but to give you some idea of what I'm saying as to what they will establish, you find it in the book of Revelation. How about turn, if you got your Bibles, you can turn over to the 18th chapter, and you'll find that it speaks of the fall of Babylon here and how she becomes the cage of every unclean and hateful bird in the 18th chapter. And you'll find, I'll read this, and it'll give you some idea of what I understand will happen. Because this, of course, is after that the seven vials has been poured out upon the great whore. And she principally will be the religion that will be carried by the beast of Revelation 13. I wish we had time to comment on it. Revelation of 13. I stood upon the sands of the sea. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. We said something about this the other night. Really, there is 18 kings involved in this. 10 of them are spoken of as horns. These are king. 7 more are spoken of as heads. These are kings. And there's one other king that will come, which will be the Antichrist. And 3 of these are spoken of as reference back to the body, which is the leopard, which is the bear, which is the lion. And this is the composition as to the body of the beast. I wish we could comment on those. We can't right now. But anyway, I can say this. The organizing of that thing as to the mark of the beast. Why will that come? There will be a purpose in this. When this beast comes up as to the organized thing, it will be under a merchandise sort of a thing. Remember when Jesus took the whip, he drove them out, said, "You turn my father's house into a place of merchandise." See, it'll be a thing of merchandise because it is said that they that take this mark, they can buy or sell. And this common market of Europe, what it's going to lead to is that this great trade around all of the world will rule out America unless America turns to the common market, and America won't get all this import anymore. And everything will be imported there, and America will just fall in line just like all the rest under the powers of Antichrist. And all nations, unless their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life as to the people individually, they will come under the power of this Antichrist. And then the Antichrist, willing to consolidate his kingdom as to what people will stand with him and what people will rebel, he will force a number, and this number, you'll find out, will be just for that thing as to a merchandise. Because when he establishes this United States of Europe as to this great confederation among these kings, which will be over it, these heads and whatever, once he does that among these ruling powers as to the nations, then he's going to eventually bring about a mark. And this mark is going to have to do with their trade. That if they're going to trade in that common market, or they're going to buy or sell in that common market, or be part of this, it's going to, they're going to have to come under that mark system and that number system of the Antichrist, and then this thing will be transferred down through that to an individuality as to individuals all over the world. And then, of course, that's when there's going to be a great rebellion and many people are going to be killed. But nevertheless, of course, that's when the 144,000 has been sealed. We'll go through that. But I just want to read this to you. "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devil, and is the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Now, speaking of spiritual Babylon, remember now this is conveyed over from old Babylon. We brought out about a talus, and this has to do with the bear, the Medo-Persians, and the talus, and coming over the Julius Caesar, and the right on down through history. And Right, we got this on tape. It's brought down through history and how it got into Rome and all these kind of things. We've got it all on tape. It shows how it all comes about. Now, but what I'm trying to say here is this is already an establishment and has been in power and in effect here. See, and now has come the end of it. This is in the last part of Daniel's week. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of a fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. This is after they've already took the mark. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath rewarded, remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled her to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall a plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. Of course, this is speaking of furniture and jewelry and all kind of thing, and cinnamon odor and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Remember now the great whore when John saw her carried by the beast. Remember, that's the way she was decked. But remember now, it's saying that great city that had all of this. And the Bible refers to that whore as being that city. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade beseeched stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their head and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, speaking of the city of Rome now, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great Babylon, that city at Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman whatsoever craft Ahi be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, by thy sorcerers were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with a fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Now, see, it said all of her merchandise was gone. See, that's again that United States of Europe thing that they established, where it's going to be so great and so mighty, and it shows here that that the great whore in that the city of Rome is going to be the preeminent of that thing. And of course the beast is going to carry. When you say beast, you go back to that, as I've said so many times, they that are not Christians are beast and brute beasts, some of them made to be taken and burned. So then if you're not a child of God, if you're not that a foreknowledge as to a child of God through the predestination of Christ, then that means you are a beast, and the beast as to the multitude of the beast. as special those that take the number, as to the beast, as to the curse of the garden, as of Cain, who received the mark of the beast, there as to the number in the end time, then that means that you're going to be the beast. You're not a God nor a son of God. You are merely a creation as to a beast, and as to hearken to the beast, as to be born to the beast, as to be part of the beast, is to be of the beast kingdom. So then, they that have the love of the world in them and the things of the world as of beasts, they follow after the world, because that's all they are, is beasts. But they that be of the sons of God, they that are of the spiritual world, they that are of a higher plane of living, they have higher morals, higher standards, higher thought. They have thoughts of spiritual understanding and great, wonderful power of translating into dimensions that a beast cannot enter into. All right, so then it's that we should not think so highly of ourselves, but think very highly of Him, because it's all of Him. So you can see that that thing over yonder is shaping up just exactly as we have seen it. And everything's coming right to the head. As a matter of fact, it's been said in the last few days that that's the capstone. Okay, I don't know just exactly how that was referred to. Even Brother Gilbert was telling me something about that a few days ago, that they've made a reference to that as that being the capstone coming about. And really it is. The whole Egyptian thing toward the star Dagon is, you know, that old thing's about to come about as to the Antichrist himself. But that little in-between that's running, that interference just before our Lord and Savior returns, when he gets everything under control as to his superpower, then out of the east comes the tidings from the Jews that will not give in to him when they say our Messiah is still yet to come. The tidings out of the east will trouble him, and he'll go forth to boycott the nations against him when they withdraw, because they'll go ahead and join up with that United States of Europe thing, and they'll throw in their lot, and they'll be part of the trade, and they'll sell their goods, and it'll be a big thing because everybody needs the money to keep their nation going. But just as quick as he goes to consolidate to bring it under the mark of the beast about the middle of the week, and they see that he is breaking the covenant, whereas he'll make it for 1 week. It won't be made for 1 week in the sense of his thinking, because he doesn't know that he's got but 1 week. But to him, that it'll just be Daniel's week, as from the beginning of the last, that is to say the 7 years, from the beginning of the 7 years there unto the end of it, the two prophets coming on the scene. Antichrist doesn't know it's just for 7 years. But the thing is that in the middle of the week when he presses that mark, that'll be the breaking of the covenant, because they themselves will withdraw from it, and he will immediately break the covenant with them because they'll refuse to take the mark. And when they do, then the pressure will come down on them, and the boycotts of nations will go against them. And that's where the problem starts. All right, Satan at that time will enter into that Superman and show himself as God in the earth. And God will pour out the plagues upon him and pour out his wrath upon him. And the kingdom of Antichrist and Satan will be filled with darkness, because all wisdom will be taken away from him. And there won't be no healing medicines, and even sleep as to death won't even be present that they can find relief. And the Bible says they'll gnaw their tongues for pain. The heat will be so fierce it will scorch them, and great hailstones will fall upon them from heaven. What a horrible, horrible situation. The Bible said that you and I should pray always that we might be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. And folks, the only way I know to escape those things is to be sealed in as the Jews are, or either be ready to make that translation. Let's stand together. It's just a few things that I'm hurrying through tonight. I'd like to say a whole lot more about it, because certainly there's a lot more to be said about it. But might be something for you to think on. If everything is well, like Mr. Bush says it is, and certainly it looks real good when they cry peace and sudden destruction, because there's no peace to the wicked. Of course, as I said, what will bring peace is that this is opposed, is who can make war against him. The superpower, national, nobody's going to rise up against him until God gets ready to offset the thing. But why is Israel left out? If everything is just right and it's going to bring peace, why is Israel left out? When the Bible said Israel will be the head of the nations, and according to the Bible, millennium is the era of peace, as to that 1,000 years of restoration and peace. When the Bible said, and nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, for Satan shall be bound 1,000 years, and it's during that time that there will be peace when Israel is in reign as the head of the nation and Jesus sitting on the throne. Where then is Israel and where then is Jesus? And tidings out of the east shall trouble the Antichrist. See, for there'll be no peace. There'll be no peace. For they that touch Israel touch the apple of my eye. And that's when the wrath of God will come upon them. All right, so we can see real clear, even as we said, concerning the dates, as the calendar dates, everything's falling in line. They that don't understand, the Bible said, it come upon them as a thief in the night. But we're not children of darkness as to ignorance. We see very clearly what's happening, and we see the calendar dates. We find out everything is perfectly in line and perfectly in order. All right, let's sing together, can we? A single, of course, we sing so often, Brother Taylor. I love Him. Can you sing that with me? I love Him. Oh, because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once again, now sing with me. So I love Him. Do you love Him, Jesus? If you do, you'll keep my commandments. The Bible said, blessed are they that do His commandments. Not they that keep His commandments, though it does use that term. But it said, blessed are they that do His commandments. To be a doer of the word, that they may have right to the tree of life, and that they may enter in through the gates of the city into that wonderful, wonderful place. Once again now. And I love Him. Sing it with me. I love Him. Purchase my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing that with me. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Once again, every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. Trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing this together. We're going to open the altars as we sing this. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over. my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, O sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me now? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. John, for oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his lovely voice, and don't turn him away. Come into my heart while the crises are taking place in the East. Now's a good time to invite him into your heart. He said, I stand at the heart's door and knock. And if you'll open, I'll come in. Standing at the heart's door, and I'm knocking. And if you'll open, I'll come in. Will you let him in? Heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it again now. So come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Jesus, just coming today, and come in to stay.
Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Once again, just come in to my heart.
Can you say, Lord, come into my heart? Can you invite the Lord into your heart? I stand at the heart's door and I knock. In the book of Solomon, the Songs of Solomon, the Bible speaks of Jesus. And it speaks of him how that he stands outside of the heart's door. And it speaks of him wanting to come in, the drops of the night in his locks, as to the dew drops. Once again, oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. To my heart. Sister Anna says her daughter Susan is going to surgery at 7 a.m. tomorrow. And she's asking for prayer. Let's remember that. My heart, Lord Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? When you are a Christian, this is what happens. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor.
It grows sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter for a long life's way, all through garden. I can hear my Savior say, my love grows sweeter each day.
Sing it again now.
Growing sweeter each day, growing sweeter each day. Grow sweeter for a long life's way, all through the garden I can hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter each day. Once again, it's growing sweeter each day, growing sweeter, folks. If you found what I found, it's growing sweeter every day. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. For he's the one I've loved and he's the one I've waited for every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Sweeter each day.
Once again now.
Growing sweeter each day. Growing sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter for a long life's way, all through the garden I can hear my Savior say, my love grows sweeter each day. Just one more time. Growing sweeter every day. It's growing sweeter every day. God's love gets sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear my master say, my love will grow sweeter each day.
Can you close your eyes with me? Lift your hands. The love that grows sweeter, sweeter every day. Jesus, His love grows sweeter every day. Now, the few little things that we say to you, going to the book of Daniel to tie it in with the book of Revelation as we did the other night to show you that it's one and the same. And then going from the book of Revelation over to the things of the Middle East to tie it in with the present day happenings as to our presidency and to the Confederation of Nations to let you see what's happening, to bring it about as to the end, the great finale, or the calamity that's about to befall the world, to let you understand where God stands in the matter as to who He'll be standing with and what will bring about His regime, as to where He'll be in the pitch and where you can look for Him and where Satan will be and where you can look for him. See, so that you'll know and you won't be staggering at these things, and you'll understand just exactly what the Lord is telling you and what's going to come about of the whole thing in the end time. Now, if you can see this, then you won't have any problem with your revelation when the Lord begins to deal with you concerning the revelation of the end time. And you won't have any problem telling just exactly how far along things are and just how near the end of the world you are. And you won't have any problem when people dispute with you as to whether or not this is the end of the world. Because I can assure you, folks, this is the end of the world. Peter said in his day that you are the people upon whom the end of the world have come. And most assuredly, you are, and especially at this moment, this is the end time and this is the end of the world. And right now, you need to deeply consider what I'm saying and seriously consider what I'm saying, because it really is the end of the world. And if you're thinking right, understanding right, then you know for sure that these things that I'm telling you are of a truth, that this is the end of the world. And that things is happening now fast, winding up fast. And if all this is right that I'm telling you, then that means that the translation of the church, which means the change, not the translation as glory to glory that's on the inside, as to the revelation, which has already been taking place now for a long time, but the change of the body is near at hand, because the change of the body has got to be quick, sudden, as to Thessalonians change, and the church has got to get out of here before that thing can happen, as to the boycott coming in around Jerusalem, as to the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke of, as the armies compassing Jerusalem. You're not supposed to be here to see that. That change is supposed to come and you're supposed to go out of here. And as to those two prophets coming on the scene, which that is near at hand, then you're not to be here to see that. As to the tutoring of Israel for the first part of Daniel's week, then you're not to be here to see that. That means that the time is near at hand and for the church to go through that change. If you're not right, if you're not ready, if you haven't done the things you're supposed to do, you need to be doing them real quick, real quick. You need to do double time as far as checking up. I said this month you need to do a little soul searching and really pull up in the Lord. Really pull up in the Lord. All right, while we're standing here worshiping the Lord just for a few minutes, I want you to think. Think on the Lord Jesus. Think for just a few minutes now. I'm going to ask Marsh to come up here. Marsh Allen. While you stand there thinking over these things that I've said, I wish we had plenty of time to say a whole lot more to you. But I know that time will run out real quick as to us getting up to the plane and us catching out. And there might be some other things that you want to do or say. You're certainly welcome to do them or say them. But I just want to make sure here that we're all clear. Let's sing this little chorus together. Our eyes closed and our hands lifted up. Can we sing this together, folks? And I will praise Him. I will praise. Can you sing it with me now? Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Sing that with me. Let us give of Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed away every... Once again now, can you praise Him now? And I will praise Him, my, will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us